The setting's a little bit different to when I was here last time. Doesn't the world move on? And that's at Eton, we've been working our way through 1 Corinthians. And the reason I've picked this particular passage is when we were doing it, it seemed to me so appropriate to the confusion of our times. I've never known so much confusion across social, political, economic realities that we face in the world today. And you used to kind of get some sense of consensus, but now all you get are warring ideas and opinions. And so the whole idea of spiritual wisdom, I think, is quite important for us today. And that's what I want to focus in on for us this morning. Now, in approaching the passage, we need to make sure we're actually talking about the same thing. Because often when we speak of spiritual wisdom, we're talking about different ideas and concepts. So I want you to start by going back to your high school physics. All right, do you remember that? I trained as a science teacher, so hey! Mind you, I was biological sciences, not mechanical sciences, but anyway. Do you remember the guy Isaac Newton and the apple that may or may not have fallen on his head that led to his thinking about gravity? Well, Newton developed an understanding, a mathematical model of, I think we got a picture of Newton up there with his apple. To remind you. Coming. No? There he is. Okay. This is obviously how it happened. No, he was out in the garden with his big volume and... No, not quite. But Newton developed a mathematical understanding of how objects move, and that led to a whole field of physics called Newtonian physics. And it explains how things like planets and planes and plucks, I had to do the alliteration thing, move with momentum and all that kind of thing. However, when things get very, very small, think like subatomic, smaller than atoms, or when they move very fast, think like the speed of light, the rules that Newton worked out no longer work. And so lots of mathematicians and physicians steadily developed a new system called quantum mechanics over time to explain how stuff happens when it's very small or very fast or both. Now, it was rather complex, and I think up there, click through a few, and we've got a picture of an introductory lesson to quantum mechanics. There's Newton's laws. And that's how it works out, whether they're large and small or fast or slow. And then I think the next picture, there we go. Introduction to quantum mechanics. It is really complicated. Now, as they developed that, they started to also find that there were lots of other things happening in the natural world that couldn't be explained. And we've got this whole idea of the next picture. You've got a theory of everything, and inside that there's relativity and there's Newtonian physics, there's quantum mechanics and all the rest. So we live in a real world. But that world is explained in different ways. And there are two systems at work which to explain what is happening in the physical reality in which we live. If you only knew one of those systems, half the world wouldn't make sense. And you would have to do all sorts of strange adjustments to try and explain the part of the world that didn't make sense. So our reality is both spiritual and natural. And we need to perceive and understand both if we're going to fully understand what is happening in our day-to-day experiences. However, the reality is many people only perceive one of those realities. And so much of what's happening around them doesn't make any sense. and they are trapped, and they have to make all these strange adjustments to how they perceive the world to try and make sense of it. So they come up with all sorts of strained explanations, and I'd suggest evolution is a example of that. It doesn't make scientific sense, but everybody accepts it because they need to have something to make sense of their world, because they have no spiritual understanding of our reality. And so we need to make a few observations before we look at what Paul's saying about how this natural and spiritual reality both interact. First, they are interwoven, just like atoms and planets. Now, different laws of physics apply to atoms than that apply to planets, but planets are made up of atoms, and atoms combine together to make planets. You can't separate the two. And so in our natural world, we have both the physical and the spiritual. They are interwoven, but we have to recognize when we're looking at one and when we're looking at the other. Just as we experience helpful and harmful in the natural, so we also do in the spiritual. Satan and his agents are at work in the spiritual dimension just as God is at work. And we need to see there's not one is good and one is bad. There is good and bad at work in both systems. And we must be careful to see, not to see one aspect as good and the other as bad. Historically, there have been lots of heresies. No, the spiritual is good and the natural is terrible. And we split them up. But when we do that, we do damage to ourselves and our understanding of reality. Both natural and spiritual can be used for good or for ill, depending on who the causative agent is. God and Satan are at work in both realities. When we see that our experience in our reality isn't making sense when we're just looking at it, say, in the natural, we need to ask the question, okay, what is happening in the spiritual? If what we're looking at in the spiritual isn't making sense, we think, oh, maybe something's happening in the natural I need to understand. We need to be working both systems if we are going to understand what is happening in our world. So let's give the example of illness. Sometimes it's mainly natural, sometimes it's mainly spiritual. Often it's a combination of the both. But if we try to understand it with just one lens, we don't get a true picture of what's happening. And it leads to lots of frustration and misunderstanding of what God is doing in our world. Okay, what are we talking about when we talk about spiritual wisdom? Now, the common thought is something really esoteric. Now, I've got a nice New Agey type picture up there somewhere. We think, oh, there's Coles. That's the day-to-day living. Keep going. There we are. We think that spiritual wisdom is something hidden and esoteric, hard to discover, and you have to go deep within to find it. And that's heavily influenced by Eastern religions sweeping through our culture. You know, those of you who are old enough to know the last 30 or 40 years. They tend to see spiritual reality as separate from the physical, and they're not interwoven. You sort of get past the physical and suddenly we find this amazing spiritual world. That's one influence, which isn't true. The other typical response is to think that spiritual wisdom is being able to see through the natural into the hidden reality that lies behind everything, unseen by just ordinary people. Think Matrix. Those of you who remember the Matrix movies. It was only those with higher powers or special ability who could see through the everyday to find the hidden spiritual reality behind. Spiritual reality, spiritual truth is neither of those. Spiritual wisdom is simply the truth of God, who he is and what he has done and how he is at work in the world that he has created. Now the reality is we will never know all of it. Those very well-known verses from Isaiah 55, God says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." However, God has revealed himself and his truth to us through the scriptures, specifically through Jesus, his life and his teachings. God's spiritual foundations for life in the world are shown to us in the values and the purposes and the patterns of the kingdom of God, which is reality as God wants it for us. Now, if God told us everything, our minds and our hearts would be mush. Some of our hearts and minds are mush already just because we're getting old, but you know, that happens. It's through the scriptures and the work of the Holy Spirit that he opens up his truth to us and applies it to our lives as we need it. This is spiritual wisdom, knowing God and his ways. For this is a reality that underpins our very existence. So with that perspective of spiritual wisdom and how it fits into our everyday experience of reality, I want to look at four important things that Paul tells us about spiritual wisdom in this passage. Paul's points. The first one is they don't understand. Looking at verses 6 to 8, this is from the New Living Translation. Paul says, "Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is a mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord." For those who adhere to a purely naturalistic understanding of the world, or who have a false spiritual understanding of the world, God's ways and his truth simply don't make sense. What do you mean? They can't understand it because they have no way of comprehending it. They don't have a framework in which God's truth fits. And the same is actually true for Satan and all his agents. They don't get God. They don't understand God's ways. So while at times they seem to be getting the ascendancy and Satan and his agents maybe seem to be winning, particularly in the naturalistic world, inevitably they come undone and they fail miserably and end up working towards God's purposes rather than their own. If they knew what the crucifixion was going to do, would they have gone there? No, they didn't see it coming, didn't understand, because they were viewing it not from God's perspective, not with spiritual wisdom, but with their own. So while we are always told to be aware and wise to what Satan and his agents are doing, we are not to be afraid of them because they don't get it. They are stumbling in the darkness and ignorance of their own making. They do not understand the kingdom of God, its ways, and how God will fulfill everything he has said. And nor should we be surprised when people who have no connection with God think that what we do is stupid and simply can't understand it. It's only when they come across life, attitudes and outcomes which are outside of what they can explain that they start to ask, well, how does that work? Why do you live like that? How can you be confident and comfortable and feel enriched in this crazy world? And they start to say, hey, there's something else happening here. Before that, they cannot understand the kingdom of God and God's spiritual truth. So don't be surprised when others and the demonic spiritual world do not comprehend God's spiritual wisdom. The second thing Paul wants to remind us is that his wisdom is revealed by the Spirit. Verse 10 and 12 through 12, he says, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us." It's a work of God's Spirit to open our hearts and minds to his truth. We actually can't reach out and take hold of God's truth through intellectual effort. Every Christian has equal access to the wisdom of God as it comes through openness and submission to the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, study and disciplined thought are helpful and are used by God and never to be belittled or dismissed. But the foundational truth of God that enables us to live with him and to live for him, that spiritual wisdom about the kingdom of God that we need for everyday life is accessible to every Christian, no matter what their intellectual capacity is, no matter what their educational background is, no matter what their cultural context is. We are all on the even playing field here because it is revealed to us by the Spirit. And as much as we are open to the Spirit, so we will understand and receive and live by the spiritual wisdom that God has for us. The third thing that Paul wants us to understand is that God's wisdom is simple. Verses 13 and 14, he says, "When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means." Why did Jesus teach using parables and illustrations rather than using the high philosophy of his day like Socrates and Plato? That's where all the smart people were. You see, this so-called high learning, as we like to think of it in human terms, excludes people. It leaves those who can't have the lingo and understand the concepts out. Unless you have that intellectual capacity, you can't understand the words and the methods that are being used. You're on the outside and ignored as being irrelevant. But spiritual wisdom doesn't work like that. It's accessible to everyone who has a heart and mind open to the Holy Spirit. You see, a simple word picture or parable conveys truth which touches and changes the will and the heart, as well as challenging the mind. The university professor and the illiterate villager are both on equal terms before the truth of God, because it touches their heart. It changes their will. That's why God's spiritual wisdom is so often rejected by those who consider themselves learned or elite. Something that is simple and straightforward actually doesn't suit them. They want something they can control, which makes them feel special. They want something that's complicated and hidden so that they can say, "Oh, well, I know what you don't know." Look how often the teachings of false religions, of false philosophies, are hidden and complex, and particularly those in the occult. Multiple layers that you've got to work your way through and be initiated into. God's truth is not like that. Everyone can understand it if they are open to what the Spirit wants to teach out of the simple truths, the patterns and the pictures of Scripture. Finally, Paul wants us to understand that God's wisdom, God's spiritual truth, is the true perspective of reality. Verses 15 and 16, he says, "Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." Now, at face value, that sounds a little bit arrogant. Oh, well, you can't tell us. No, we know, you don't. But if we go back to our opening illustration of Newtonian physics and quantum mechanics, if you're only using one system to try and explain reality, it doesn't make sense. You need both to understand the world in which we live. And so it is with the realities in which we live every day. Unless we are perceiving our experience through both spiritual and natural understandings, if we have both God's wisdom and natural wisdom, we're not going to have a clear picture of what's happening. We won't be able to explain our experiences in the world in which we live. That necessary spiritual wisdom that we need if we're going to understand what is happening in this world is best summarised by that phrase that Paul uses right at the end, where he says, "the mind of Christ." Understanding the world as Jesus sees it, understanding the world in terms of what God has done, because it's when we live in and through the truth that Jesus taught and demonstrated that we are truly wise in God's eyes. Do we truly understand what's happening in the world? That's when we can best understand the world in which he has placed us, its events, its pains, its joys, and its eternal purposes. We don't have to know everything. We simply need to know Jesus. That enables us to understand ourselves, our world, our place, and where we are going with him. You see, our world systems and its cultures and patterns are used relentlessly by Satan and his agents to make us as followers of Jesus think we are stupid, irrelevant, and powerless. He wants us to buy into his lies and abandon the simple spiritual truth revealed to us in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And we can and we must constantly resist him at all points, because it's only through God's truth that we can live well, that we can live with purpose and be life-giving to those around us in this dying world. We can accept Paul's encouragement and his promises given to us back in chapter 1. If you read a little bit earlier, verse 26, he says, "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy, when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God." God has given us spiritual wisdom that comes through the truth of the kingdom, that enables us to understand ourselves, understand the world in which we live, and understand where he is taking us in his purposes for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we live in a confused and complicated world. Every time we turn on the news, we get a different opinion. We get a different perspective, at war with everybody else. We pray that we will, by your Spirit, perceive the spiritual truths that come to us from your word, that we will understand the foundational principles of life in the kingdom of God, that they will guide our understanding, that they will guide our decisions, that they will form our attitudes, so that even in this topsy-turvy world, we will be able to live with stability and purpose and richness and be life-giving to those around us, because we can see the natural world and the spiritual world and see it in balance as you weave it together to bring glory to your name, to bring honour to who you are, and to bring about your purposes in this world. Open our eyes to your truths, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.